You shake in your shoes and shiver with shock. It's a bright, chilly, shining, shattering shamanism that's sure to give rise to cries of showers of sherbet!
Showers of sherbet!
Now meet the cause of the shocking shambles, the king of the Diddy Men, Ken Doll.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, first of all, ladies and gentlemen, first of all, I've got a little snippet of news for you. There's just been a news flash on the wireless. And they said, in this news flash, they said that they're going to have another try with Chi-Chi, the giant panda. And if nothing happens this time, Percy Edwards leaves for Russia next week. The BBC censor has just been on the phone a few minutes ago to remind us that a lot of young people listen to this show, and so if we had anything a bit mucky, would we shove it in for them? Also, Ledger, today, Ledger, because of the great difference in time between us here in Britain and our overseas cousins, we would all like to wish our many friends in Cambodia a very Merry Christmas. And ladies and gentlemen, here indeed is a very unusual recording. This is a recording of a happy man. Why is he happy? Because it's his last day as lighthouse keeper, and he's on his way up to the very, very top of the lighthouse to light the lamp. And he retires the next day. Just listen to it. Mind the moggy! Same Trinity House a few bob a week. So I said to Sir Malcolm, why don't you get yourself one of those Japanese electric batons? You just stand there and it whacks itself.
Hello, Ken.
Ah, dear Percy Edwards. We missed you last week, Percy. Would you do one of my favourite animal impressions?
I'd love to, Ken. Which one would you like?
The red stag. The red stag, you know, that's my favourite animal. Do the mating call of the red stag.
Sure.
Do you have to wear anything special to make that noise? Please, do it again, Purs.
You called a deer?
Seek him, Percy. Percy loves a bit of scrag end. Graham Stark, I believe that you just landed a very important part in a new film. Could you tell us how it happened? How very interesting. It just shows you can never know the minute. Next, a treat for all lovers of the ballet, because I have here, standing next to me now, one of the greatest ballerinas of all time, Dame Petrovsky Hezevich.
It is a pleasure to be here, a great pleasure.
Dame Petrovsky, how many leading roles have you danced in your career? They're probably too numerous for you to remember.
I have been keeping a check.
Yes, I know, I saw him, and a fine big FD lad he is too. I'm sure that Dame Petrovsky won't mind me telling you that quite recently she celebrated her 87th birthday.
I do mind very much. You've got a perishing cheek.
Well, in spite of her years, Dame Petrovsky still is remarkably fit, and she can bat mon bon dieu with the best of them.
And my glissard is in good nick as well.
I see. Well, we'll let you know. Dame Petrovsky has very kindly consented to dance something for us now.
Yes, I would like to dance for you. The famous Norwegian dance by Grieg. And one and two.
I'm sure she would have wanted to go that way. How's the new car going, Graham?
Well, I...
Good gracious me, you ought to be more careful. Come on, Percy, do it again. Now, here really is Mr. Graham Stark to tell us about the archaeological conference held last week at the British Museum. Mr. Stark.
Yeah, well, I mean, there was, like, all these old geezers with, like, bits of broken cups and that, and one old fellow with, like, all yellow, like, papers.
He had the scrolls?
Well, he had something, because he was a very funny guy.
Well, that would be Sir Mortimer. Well, thank you, Mr. Stark. Elgin Marbles.
Oh, if that's the way you feel about it, I don't know.
Well, let's stay on an intellectual level and visit Professor Doddy at Notty Ash University for another session of University of the Air.
Yes, and I am sure, and I am quite sure that you will find that if you read chapter 4 of Professor Schoenberg's thesis, you will find that he agrees with me that the reason why Arab women put a camel in the pie dish is because it keeps the crust up. Now, are there any questions?
As you know, Professor.
Quite right. Well, next question.
As you know, I'm making an extensive study of rare editions, and last night I found a 65-year-old trollop.
I hope you'll be very happy together.
Here, here. What I'd like to know concerns page 256 of Barchester Towers. What did the bishop's wife reply when her husband asked her what they were having for tea?
Well, I think I can best answer that question musically. What did the bishop's wife reply when her husband asked her what they were having for tea? And the musical answer was...
There's a place for...
An economic question.
Who is the Minister of Fisheries in Norway?
A man called Ole Mackerel. Today I'd like to talk to you about a great man. This great man, Dr. Lanchester Shufflebottom, the man who invented the ballpoint balloon and the electric gaslighter. One Saturday night, this genius was lying in the bath studying the map of his right leg. He'd been away from home for some time. He'd been working on his now famous textbook, Karate for the Under Fives, which contains such intellectual gems as how to give Mummy the Japanese death chop.
Poppycock!
He met her 2 years later, and they were married. They had one child, Elsie Alec Norman Nellie Rupert Lidfer.
Lidfer? What was Lidfer?
For putting on top of the dustbin. Overcome with remorse, he took an overdose of cocoa and became thoroughly browned off.
If I might come in here, we'll pop the sun with Andy Mann, who this week is enjoying a well-earned holiday at Blackpool.
Hello, all you do-it-yourself maniacs. Oh, it's lovely here on the beach at Blackpool. Oh, I do like to be there. Now, you don't need me to tell you that one of the nicest things is to have a little snooze on the beach, so I'll have a little snooze before me paddle. Oh, lovely. Oh, yeah.
Oh. Hello, Mr. Ben.
Hey, no, I'm having a nightmare. Oh, Norman, what are you doing here?
I'm on holiday, Mr. Ben.
On holiday? I never knew you were coming here, Norman. Didn't you like those holiday brochures I got for you for North Vietnam? Oh, anyway. Hello, sunshine. I see you've got your little bucket with you. Have you found any crabs?
No. I didn't know you were here. Joke.
Who?
Joke.
Yes, I get the joke. Oh, very jocular, sunshine. Here, why can't you go to the Isle of Man, Norman? It's a lovely walk.
Perfect, Mr. Man. I'm good. I'd like you to come and make sandcastles for me and my cousin.
Oh, yes, I'd like that. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's all I need. Sandcastles and digging holes for flipping kits. Go on, run along, Norman. Off it. And here, if you're going swimming, tie this anvil to your leg. Oh, now for me, Kip.
Oh, well, I might as well dig a hole, then. I think I'll dig it just about here.
Norman, me bunion. Oh, you've copped it such a whack of that spade. Oh, and I was going jazzing tonight at the tower. I'll never get me Winkle pickers on that one. Honestly, I'll massacrate him, I will. I'll massacrate him.
I wouldn't mind an ice cream.
Come here, Norman, I'll give you a fourpenny one. Now, please, Norman, leave me alone. Goodbye, ta-ta.
I say that screw looks loose in your deck chair.
Don't touch that screw. No, Norman. Norman, will you get my head out of this crossbeam, please, Norman? Sunshine, go away. Go away when you're still in one piece, will you?
Norman, I've been looking everywhere for you. Who's this nice man?
Oh, he's not interested. I asked him to come and play with us, but he won't come.
Hey, is this your cousin?
Yes.
Oh, hello, Dolly. Hey, Norman, where'd you want the hole digging? No, come back here, Norman.
Yourself the smile of confidence with Dobby's Tingle Taste toothpaste.
I say, Becky, I see you've brought a tube of Dobby's Tingle Taste toothpaste. I think I'll try it. Now, Becky, I don't think that's a bit funny. Every man in chopping them, dump that in the bowl. I'm all gummy. Becky?
having been a leading dog breeder for more than 20 years, I can highly recommend Dotto Meat. I give my dogs nothing but Dotto Meat, and just look at the fine coat on this champion poodle.
Look, 5 pounds dinner.
Don't eat your dinner.
He's fasting washing my face 7 days a week with Dodlack cream soap. More and more people have been saying to me...
Good morning, Cassius.
Working on a new housing estate. The bricklayer is at the top of the scaffolding and his mate is standing at the bottom of the ladder.
Oh, Miss Anne. Yes, Andy, promise.
Hi, Harry. Hello, Jack. Bring us up another 2 buckets of cement, will you?
You what, Jack?
I'm short of cement. Another 2 buckets.
Hello, Jack.
Let's have another 2 buckets.
How are you fixed for cement up there, Jack? Not anymore.
Oh, blimey, at last. 2 buckets.
You what, Jack?
I thought, Harry, lad, I'm coming down.
Oh, what's the matter with you this morning?
If I asked you once, asked you 1,000 times for 2 buckets of cement, I mean, it isn't much to ask for, is it?
Hello, Jack!
What are you doing up there?
You what, Jack? Are you coming up here then?
Yes, I am.
Well, you might as well bring those 2 buckets of cement.
Presenting once again the D.H. Dodd Playhouse, proving yet again the mastery and insight that D.H. Dodd had into the earthly emotions of real people. This week's play, Storms of Passion.
It'd be a bad night, Jed.
Aye, Alice. Aye, it'd be a bad night. You know, Alice, storms is lightning to folk.
How so, Jed?
Wild and passionate, fierce and willful, Alice.
Be you likened to a storm, then, Jed?
Aye, lass. Happen I am. Happen as how I feel something stirring. Something stirring deep down in my innards.
A woman has them stirrings, Jed. Deep down inside of her, they be a stirring away.
Aye. And be them feelings deep down inside of you, be them stirring away, Alice.
Aye, Jed, they be deep down stirring away.
And up in the blood surging. Surging through your veins like a stream in full flood.
Aye, lad, the blood be surging through me veins like a stream in full flood, as well as turn deep down inside.
Aye, and up in your heart be banging. Up in your heart be banging and banging and flapping away like a barn door caught in a violent night wind.
Aye, lad.
Violent night wind, as well as the blood.
find. Hi, lad. They be doing all that.
I thought they might be. Cheerio, Alice.
Everywhere have been eagerly awaiting the start of the World Cup matches, and nowhere is the excitement greater than in Knotty Ash, where the world-famous Brazilians are meeting the equally famous Knotty Ash Dillingham. Over now to Knotty Ash Stadium.
And what a great game this should be! Can the Dillingham hold the Brazilians?
I should be that! We'll marmalize them!
The two captains are now tossing the coin on the centre spot.
I feel real helping. You'd like to spin the jolly old coin. See, senor, you are very kind. You still keep a sailor, please? I treat it like so. Yes, little chap.
Yes, it heads. And Diddy men from all over the country are standing up and shouting their fellow Diddy men on. I can see wee Hamish from Invercockyricky.
That's one but funny piece that is Mac Marmalize them. Away, him, you grocery young monkey. Why, my little kick him in the
panel, yeah. And it's Nigel Ponsonby Shorthouse with the ball at his feet, belting down the touchline. The little giddy lady sitting next to me is getting very excited.
Thank you.
newspaper, we read...
The country is going to pot, sir. Our economy is in a frightful mess for the times.
Because of the hopeless state of our economy, we must be prepared to take second place, the Observer.
Unless something is done, we are doomed as a world force, the Beano.
If this is true, is there not somewhere a patriotic young man of vigor and enterprise who can save the economy of our once mighty nation? A man who has the brains, the personality, and the initiative once again to make our proud nation mighty. Does such a genius exist?
Hi, everybody. How you diddling? I'm full of vigor and thingy. My name is Arthur Knight, OBE. OBE, one boiled egg. For some time now, I've been giving our economic position a great deal of thought, and last night I took a firm grasp of the situation. Sorry, Barbara. Sorry, Miss Castle, I thought you might need a toe. The economy had everybody worried. Top ministers like Mr. George Brown and Chancellor Mr. Jim Callaghan were trying to close the gap. William McQuart! Well, William McQuart, come along now. Come along now. Over your head a bit, Mr. Callaghan.
I can't budget, George.
I beg your pardon?
I say, you get that? Can't budget.
Oh, I say, what a comical chancellor.
I received a note from my friend Sir Maxwell McLaurie, the under-under-under-secretary to the under-secretary, second under-secretary, to the minister in charge of production and company limited, early closing Wednesday.
Arthur, my boy, you're the only one who can get the country out of their economic mess, right? Now, any ideas?
Yes, Gaffer, of course I have. Let me get us into the common market. The common market, that's the play. Anyway, the Prime Minister's making a speech on the wireless now. Let's switch it on and hear what the Prime Minister's got to say.
Anyway, since you, the people, returned us to power... Have we got a match, please? Since... Thank you, Brother George. Well, now, since you, the people, returned us to power, we've been trying to clear up the mess left to us by 13 years of liberal misrule. And, pardon? Oh, it's the Tories, was it? Oh, well... Well, I didn't know I was in the silly hours at the time. The Tories...
Zeebot was sunk. What are we going to do? I'll tell you what we should do. Let's tour the industrial areas and we'll find out why we're not producing more. Let us talk to the miners and the steelworkers of Virginia Water. All working lads and lasses going out for brass. We toured all the industrial areas and we spoke to the workers coming out of the gates. Excuse me, sir.
Yes, I have noticed a difference in my family wash. What?
No, I'm not doing a commercial! The next place we went to was a coal mine. A coal mine just outside Kensington. About 300 miles outside. Sir Maxwell got very annoyed with one of the miners.
Just look at that fellow. For the past half hour, he hasn't had a stroke of what? Just wandered around aimlessly. I say, you! Just what do you think you're doing?
Let me see it. Let me see it. And I'm a shot. Just like my shift. And I'm a shirt short. I'm a short shirt short. I'm a short night shift short. Good.
No wonder our assets are frozen.
Your assets would be frozen if you couldn't find your shirt.
But in the country, our farmers were trying everything to increase production.
Come along now, Nanny, my little beauty. Now, you have a good try this time. Now, again, lovey. Now, just one more time, Nelly.
Scrambled. Still, there doesn't seem to be any shortage of money. Look at that little char lady with a mink handle on her bucket.
Morning, sir.
Morning, Mrs. Thursday.
No, the country is doomed. Listen, Gaffer, let me try and get us in the common market. Seems the only thing left. Do your best, Arthur, my boy. Get us in if you possibly can.
Thank you, Sir Maxwell. But first, before I go on this momentous mission, I feel full of patriotic emotion. I feel so full of emotion, I simply must have a quick burst on my banjo. By Jove, I needed that. For two whole weeks, I carried out negotiations and 68 crates of brown ale. And then,
Then, and only then, I reported back to Sir Maxwell. Sir Maxwell, they've accepted us. We're in the market.
Dear boy, congratulations. When do we go in officially?
Whenever we like. I've got the handcart loaded outside with all fruit and veg.
A handcart for the European market?
Not that market. The one in Petticoat Lane. Here we are now. Grab all of the shafts. Here we are. Two mother pound. Lovely tomatoes. Tatty bye, everybody. Tatty bye.
Dog show because there's a policeman taking names. He's charging John Lorry, Patricia Hayes, Graham Stark, Percy Edwards, the Spencer Davis Group, and Judith Chalmers. Big books for loitering is Donny City Orchestra. Leader Julian Guyard, conductor Malcolm Lockyer. The script was written by Eddie Fingers Braven and Ken the Dip Dodd. The show, which is recorded, was produced by Maxine.